get some meows in there, y'all. Meow.
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 Now just the hippies.
Meow.
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 Now, now just people from Michigan.
Meow.
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 Now just people in New Hampshire. Oh wait, put the hippies. Now everybody, all together now.
Meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow,
meow,
meow,
meow,
meow.
All right, this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and if you did not get enough abuse from the Freedom Fiends that you wanted to get during Porkfest, we're all home, but we're recreating Porkfest. Tonight we have myself, Michael W. Dean, Michael W. Fiend, on the tubes coming from Wyoming, from my windowless bunker, which I've retreated and scuttled back to after being out in the world and not being frightened by it. We have Lusander Fiend from the Great State Project of Michigan. Are you there?
I'm here, and I am back in the failed state project of Detroit area. Just got back about an hour ago.
But you left your hippies. You left your heart in San Francisco. No, you left your hippies in New Hampshire. We have your hippies. Hello, hippies. Yeah. What are your names?
I'm Mary Vandenberg.
I'm Jason Hofacker.
Hey, y'all. You know, Lou said, somebody wrote me and said, Derek, we also have Derek. Are you there, Derek J. Freeman?
Worms. I am here in Worms. Keene in the Shire.
I met all these people. We know each other now. Before it was just my little magical weird friends on the internet. Now I know all y'all. And Derek wrote me and said, you're 5 minutes before the show and said, your hippies are here. Would you like me to have them on the show? And I talked to Lou and I'm like, they're not my hippies, but yeah, I have them on. And what did Lou say?
These are my hippies. There are many like them, but these hippies are mine.
Yeah, I was really happy to learn that there are hippies in the world now who understand economics. That's a new thing in the world, I think.
Yeah, these hippies have some of the coolest economic art, too. I saw some pretty awesome construction out of bills. What would you call those, Mary? Those heads that you showed me?
Fiat heads?
Yeah, they were fiat heads. Some 21st century economic hippie art.
I used to be a fiat head, and then I learned about liberty largely from the Free State Project Forum, and it was so cool though to be there actually, because this thing is really. I called in Free Talk Live tonight. Ian asked me to. I'm actually going to tack that 10 minutes on at the end of this on the internet podcast for this. So if you wonder why that pops up, that's what that is. But it was so cool. Two things about it that were really cool. They're kind of a combination of the same thing. This was obviously my first Porkfest. One is these people are actually real. Like I met like 22 people that I consider good friends that I've never met in person before. And even I'll meet them again. I'll go to Porkfest again. But even if I never meet any of them again, it's like I've met them once. I've sat down and like sniffed them and know they're real. So it makes it that much better on the internet and on the talking and the typing. And the other thing is it was like a microcosm of LibPair for a week. It makes me realize it's true. You know, it's possible, like warts and all, but it's possible.
What kind of warts are you talking about? What sort of things did you consider to be the bad parts of LibPair?
I didn't really have any bad parts of it. Nobody was rude to me. Let's see. Somebody, what's her name? Gigi Bowman spilled a drink on my wife, and then and it was a sweet drink, and there was nowhere to wash it off. So like my wife got bug bites that she's still.
I don't
itching.
Mean to laugh.
Well, you know.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, if you met her, if you met the majesty that is. Gigi Allen, Gigi Bowman, you know, but no, that was funny. It was just like 5 minutes from being there. Like we got there and that happened. I was like, oh, it's like a frat party, but no, it wasn't. And there's nothing else like that. Nobody was.
Wasn't she running for state dictator anyway? I don't know.
Yeah. If I did, I wouldn't vote for someone who spills a drink on my wife.
She wasn't running for dictator. She was hoping to be like one of the dictator's assistants.
I think she was just,
senator.
I think she was just selling muffins. I think it's a scheme to sell muffins. But no, it was great, man. Everybody, I don't know. I got the only like beefy thing that happened with anybody. This is kind of weird. I'm inviting this guy to like respond, but I met Larkin rose and he was kind of rude to me. It was really strange. He was the only person out of like 2,000 people that was rude to me.
Was he straight up rude or was he just sort of standoffish? Because from what I understand, he's sort of just a, he's just a private type of guy. He likes to live in the woods and
be left alone. Like, you know, it's like, I mean, I've interviewed that guy like four times. I've sent him money. I've sent him, bought him a microphone and I walked in and met him, you know, went to shake his hand and he like shook my hand from the side, didn't look at me, wasn't talking to anybody else. And just, I said, "Hey man, it's good to meet you. I'm Michael Dean." He's like, "Yeah, I know who you are." And that was it. It was, if it wasn't him being passive aggressive, he should let me know. Cause it seemed passive aggressive and I'm not a guy who responds to passive aggressive cause I don't understand it. If you don't like me, just say, "Yeah, Mike, you're a D bag. I don't like you. And here's why." That makes sense to me, but it might've been, okay. It was when I met Derek J. Here's how I met Derek J. We've been talking for a few years on the internet. I consider you a good friend. I walked into the media room. You and Ian were up there interviewing Larkin Rose. I saw you from the back of the room, and you looked so excited to see me. And I think you kind of gestured to me to come up, even though you're doing a show. But if you didn't, I felt like
I was like grabbing my chest. I was holding my heart because it was about to leap out of my chest.
Me too, man. And I ran up, and I didn't make any noise. I didn't interrupt the interview, but I walked around Larkin to you and give you a hug, and I licked you on the cheek in front of a room full of people. Because I figured you'd do
not
something.
Not just my cheek. Like, you licked up my entire face. I was wet.
Because I figured you were going to meet me and do something like faggy and embarrassing to me, so I figured I'd do it to you first. It was a preemptive licking.
So you totally won. So I would have licked you first if you didn't get me.
Larkin might have been like standoffish to me because like it was like 4 minutes later during the break when everyone walked away and he was the only person sitting up there that I introduced myself to him. He might have been like, "Yeah, I know who you are, the guy who just interrupted my interview." Or it might have been, you know, I gave a couple little speeches in the middle of speeches I did about other stuff or shows or something I did with Ben at two different things. Somebody asked about, like, you know, "What do you think about the violence versus nonviolence argument?" And I gave some opinions on it. Maybe he was in the room and heard that and didn't like it. I don't know. But it wasn't against the idea of it. It was against it being something that should be widely discussed and putting people on lists. And that it's, you know, mostly talk and why even talk. You know, I don't want to discuss it until there's a test case. That's what I'll say.
I hear you. I think Larkin Rose is just one of those guys who is kind of too cool for school, got a chip on his shoulder, sort of nice to meet you, but I'm not going to get too close.
Well, he was in prison. Guy. I've met people before who've been in prison. And it changes him for life. So maybe that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But he's always seemed I've interviewed him like three or four times and he's always been like, he sounded like the coolest guy in the world. So it was weird to have him meet me and be like, "Yeah, I know he was." Like, he was sitting in the chair on the side, you know, perpendicular to the audience. I came up from the audience side. There was nobody else up there. He was just sitting there by himself, wasn't doing anything, wasn't busy, wasn't talking to anyone else. And I was like, "Hey man, I'm Michael Dean. Good to meet you." And I put my hand out to him. He reached to the side, shook it, kept looking straight ahead and said, "Yeah, I know who you are." Like, that seemed cold to me, but hey man, he can come on. He can come on in, or he can just email me and tell me if I'm wrong and what he actually meant. So, that was a little weird, but other than that, there were no warts. I mean, the water was out for a day, which didn't really affect us. We were staying in a...
It was more than a day.
We were staying in a hotel, so it didn't really affect us. But I guess another thing is, too, is like I kind of crept back on Facebook today and actually changed my name from Local Scrutinizer to Michael Fien, and all of a sudden a bunch of people added me. And I've been hiding. Like, I was on there and had like 3,500 friends and then left because it was overwhelming. I deleted my account and then I came back as Local Scrutinizer to just kind of like keep an eye, you know, like to see what's up, but without having people go, "Oh, it's Michael Dean," and talking to me. So I was incognito, and as of today, I'm not. But so I was reading, like, really excited. Like, I went to Porkfest, like sharing pictures, sharing videos and stuff. Like, I haven't been active on Porkfest since I deleted my account. And all, you know, I read some of the beefing on there, and some people were like, "Yeah, Porkfest used to be cool, now it's not, blah, blah, blah." And here's what I have to say to anybody who doesn't like any aspect of it, like doesn't like the speakers they picked, the lack of speakers they picked, the cost of things, the rules, any of that they don't like. It is private property, and complaining about it and saying it needs to do this or that is literally statism. It's literally collectivism. It's literally the world owes me a living and should do my bidding. I've said this before. I'll say it again in this context, and it's a solid thing. In AA, they say all you need to start a new meeting is a resentment and a coffee pot. And it's kind of funny, but it's kind of true. And a lot of good meetings have started because somebody was beefing with the guy running a meeting and said, well, I'll just go start my own meeting. I started a meeting, an NA meeting that ran 10 years and saved lives in San Francisco called Lust for Life, because the meetings weren't hip and rock and roll enough for me. So, you know, I didn't want to hang out with a bunch of old people, so I started my meeting. And it's a good thing to do. Start your own thing. It's the market, man. You don't complain. You don't complain and say, you need to change this thing you built because you built it not to my specifications. You need to go start your own festival. And, you know, the market will decide, and the market might even decide, okay, here's you have your beef festival where you just complain and everything's free and there's still pork festival, and they could both thrive. And here, Lou was talking the other day on the show about how there's all these festivals coming up and how great it is. And I was yelling at the radio in the car driving back saying, say this other thing, add this other thing. Like, the thing you didn't get time to say or didn't think to say is, I think if there's festivals everywhere of liberty, it'll create autonomous zones. And if there's enough of them, there'll be more of that than the state. You could like just blot out the state by having them.
Yeah, we've got one coming up over on the southwest side of the state at the end of August at Circle Pines.
The Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival?
Yeah.
That's it. I've been running free ads for that for months and talking it up, man. That's a good one. And you can meet the hippies at that one.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah, everyone keeps asking, when are you going to move to New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Did I answer your question, Derek?
Yeah. Wait, what was exactly which question?
You asked me if what were the warts to the warts and all.
Yeah. No, you did. I thought that was a good roundup.
I guess it's more other people saying stuff. Like, some people said they had some stuff stolen, but I'm thinking, how many of those people just got wasted and lost their stuff and thought someone stole it?
Much more likely.
We'll be back and I'll talk less in the next segment. Worms.
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 Worms. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, broadcasting from Pork Fest West. Yeah, that's my bedroom office in Wyoming. We're back, and we're talking with the hippies and with the Michigan hippies that look like Blossom.
My hippies.
One looks like Blossom, which is really cool because I'm a fan. And I kept looking at Mary thinking, like, God, she looks familiar. I kept thinking it was, like, from someone I used to know, like, when I was younger. And I'm like, no, it's Blossom.
Oh, that's Gotye.
Yeah, yeah. So, so we had a good time. And so Lou wants to wake up his neighbors. You want to round up your neighbors. Why?
Well, I had such a good time doing the show in front of a studio audience, especially at night and getting noise complaints, that I'm just going to go wake up my neighbors and bring them over here.
Well, do you remember that group Move, M-O-V-E, that got like drone bombed with a helicopter in Philadelphia in the 80s? It was like a black nationalist group that, you know, they were bad neighbors, but they certainly didn't deserve what they got. And one of the things they did was they had a PA system and they put it out the window and just like broadcast, you know, feisty political thought at all hours of the day and night, regardless of whether their neighbors were awake or not. Maybe you should do that.
If they would have said worms, they would have been protected.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I talk about LibPair a lot and Libertarian Paradise and how it would be a really noisy place. And I don't like noise and I'm a really quiet neighbor. But I say it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it to have a little more noise all the time, to have LibPair and no government. And I say that, and I'm the quiet guy. And then I go to Porkfest, and I'm the only guy who gets a noise complaint. We had the speakers out the window from 1 to 3 in the morning doing a show, and they usually don't have shows that late. And people are coming up in their pajamas and texting us until we shut the window. It was an accident, but yeah, it was. I felt kind of bad. I was the noise complaint at Porkfest.
You're not the only one that got a noise complaint.
Yeah. What are you clinking there?
That's silver.
Ah, okay.
I actually brought back more silver than what I left with.
Some old people's Bitcoin. We're calling it Grandpa's Bitcoin.
Yeah, and most of what I spent there was silver, with the exception of buying silver. That's when I spent my fiat currency, and I gave the I used Mary's 20 that she had manipulated, and I bought silver off of Tom, and then he bought gas with it today on the way home.
What gas station takes silver?
No. The gas station didn't take the silver. They took the 20 that Mary and Jason manipulated.
What'd they write on it?
I think it had some holes in it.
So what else do y'all miss about Porkfest?
Well, I used silver to employ child labor.
I tried to employ child labor, but here's what happened. Davy Barker set me up with one of his child labor gals that go around and sell
Rebecca
things. Yeah. And Davy said there's a problem with child labor at Porkfest is, like, once they hit puberty, they don't want to walk around selling stuff anymore. They want to go chasing boys or girls or whatever. And that's what happened.
You can't pay them enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened was some really cool person, like our first day there, I'm not going to say who it was because I didn't ask his permission to, like, out him on this, but this guy came up to me and said, I really like your show, and handed me two $50 bills. And,
whoa, cool.
So that, like, gave me enough that I decided to just give all my merch away. That's why I was giving away buttons instead of selling them. I mean, I probably would have made a little more than that, but it's a lot cooler to give people stuff. It's more, if you can afford it. I mean, I love commerce, but it's a lot more fun to give stuff away. And I gave away like 1,500 buttons and like 50 or 60 DVDs at Porkfest. And we put buttons on unconscious people, which is kind of fun.
Michael W. Dean pushing buttons.
Yeah, you were pushing your buttons.
Always
you?
Pushing buttons, man. That's funny.
Yeah, you introduced me to a new concept that week, Michael, which was reverse stealing, which is like
shop dropping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I had never seen that done before.
Well,
that was, like, brilliant.
Yeah, not just putting the buttons on people, but people were giving me their books too. Like, hey, man, I love your show. I want you to have my art. You know, and they give me this book that weighs like a pound and a half, and I don't want to carry it around. I look at it, and I'm like, looks like a good book, but I agree with everything in it. So it's preaching to the choir. I'm not going to read it all because I don't even read. The only books I read are like, you know, technical manuals. So I just snuck it all. You know, Dobby was asleep, but I went and snuck it under his tarp and put it on his table. So you can sell it and keep the money. We'll be back with more Porkfest Hippies on the Hoof.
Meow. 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 Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says Worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, groovy guys and groovy gals, freedom fiends, and freedom toilet team building exercise enthusiasts. Lou, what is that about? What are you talking about with this team building with the toilets?
Well, it turns out that on Thursday night when we had Fiend Fest and you showed Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, I happened to pop open my trusty little pint of Jim Beam and drink from it. And after the movie, our friends from New York State, New Yorkistan, said, "Hey, how about if we get a picture of you two on the buddy toilets holding hands?"
Joe did it. It was, I found out, Nicole took the picture. Well, five people took the picture. It was kind of like a press junket, you know, when they're interviewing a director and they like have the logo behind them and they, you know, "Over here, over here, over here," and all the photographers take pictures. It was like there were five.
Yeah, totally had that feel.
There were like five people taking our picture in a bathroom sitting on. The thing is, there are these toilets at Porkfest. They're not porta potties. They're flush toilets. They're in a room that's sort of under construction in the big children's outdoor amphitheater thing. And it's a room that's like, you know, 20 feet by 10 feet. And then there's two toilets over in the corner, like 10 inches from each other. Like, I don't know if they're planning on, and there's no divider between them. I don't know if they're planning on building more or putting in dividers. The room is unfinished. The wall is in the process of being painted, but it just seems really weird. Like, whoa, why is that going on?
If we would have had more time, maybe we could have gone in there with the spray paint and kind of put some sort of buddy toilet mural on the wall or something.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been good.
Now, it wasn't either of our ideas. It came from
it was Joe. Joe did it.
Okay, it was Joe's idea.
Joe did it.
Yeah, okay. Because Nicole posted on the Face Beefs, on Facebook, something like, "Joe's a great photography wingman. He can't hold a camera to save his life, but he comes up with great ideas like this." She posted that on the picture thread.
Okay, well, she sent me about 22 copies of that photo in the different stages.
I have them from like five different photographers, like 20 each.
Oh, yeah.
We've got three.
Now, in defense of alcohol, I probably would have done it sober, so I'm not going to blame it on being drunk.
I did it sober.
Yes, you did. As a matter of fact, there was no arguing, you know. They just asked, "Hey, how about if you take this shot?" And I'm like, "Yeah, okay." And then you were like, "Hey, we're doing a picture after this." And I'm like, "Did they tell you what?" So,
you know, it surprised me about the photo that you looked both so comfortable. No one was uncomfortable there.
And?
Yeah, your pants are definitely at your ankles,
well,
too.
It's a situation where... It's a situation where, especially if I had an audience, I would be feeling pretty uncomfortable. But you guys seem to have done this before.
No, it was like a press junket. Everyone was pressing in for room, trying to get a view of them.
I've actually had a press junket done when I showed the Selby film at the Deauville Film Festival. They flew me out to France to show and put me up in like 5-star hotels. It was really nice. Like, I was on the same floor of the hotel with Robert Downey Jr. Like, it was that nice of a hotel. And what's the guy that played James Bond, the good-looking one? Two
Pierce
Bonds
Brosnan?
Ago? Yeah, Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan thought I was drunk. He saw me in the hotel. We were in the elevator together in the morning when I was leaving, and I was like, I dropped all my stuff, and he was like, "Ugh, too much partying tonight, last night, eh?" Like, I'm totally sober. I just hadn't slept, and I'm rushing to get a plane. But when they flew me to that, like, it was a big, like, almost like Sundance Film Festival, but French-level thing, and there was a... You know, they put me up on the press junket red carpet up against the big backdrop that says Deauville all over it. Kind of like the Free Talk Live LRN backdrop, but bigger and, covering a whole wall. And, I mean, there were like 40 professional photographers with big cameras and long lenses, like all yelling, "Michael, Michael." It was like the only time in my life that ever happened, but I got a taste of that. It was really strange. And then I went back to L.A. and, like, was washing my socks out in the sink because I didn't have money to do laundry. It was an interesting week, but yeah, man, it was very much like that. It felt like that, and it was so exposed. Two guys being on the toilet with their pants down. I'm not usually one for bathroom humor. I don't like, you know, fart humor. It just seemed like a sweet child, you know, not childish, but like innocent. Like, "Oh, Lou and I holding hands. This will be funny," and it was really funny. And people love the pictures, man.
And passing toilet paper back to each other.
Yeah, we did some where we look happy, some where we look sad, some where we're holding hands, some where we're holding hands and look like we're being punished. And it was like, I had no problem with it. Like, there, you know, there's, for, as Ian Freeman said it really well, he said, you know, for someone who like me who brags about never leaving my windowless bunker, I do well in front of a crowd.
Well, as I mentioned before, I do like performing in front of an audience. So, hey, why not?
And it was a friendly audience, too. I mean, I don't know if I would have done that, you know, in the soccer field or anything in there. Although that would have been friendly, too. But it was I kind of knew everybody that was there.
Well, when the bathrooms went out, I did do it in the soccer field for real.
Yeah, I really wish I would have thought of it the next day to go back and have a picture done with me and Jason standing next to each other, because I've got one of those freshette things where you just a girl's able to pee standing up just by, you know, using this little contraption. And
I think it should be a scheduled event at next year's Pork Fest.
I don't know. Maybe they'll have walls in there by then.
The Pork Fest bathroom friendship class and photo shoot.
Maybe that'll be something at Alt Expo.
Is Alt Expo a tent? I never even saw it. Is it a tent in Agoura Valley?
No, it's not a tent in Agoura Valley. It's in the main area, which it was the first time ever that the alternative expo was given real attention by the main tent area. So they didn't have to be off in the woods out sequestered on their own. They actually got to play with everyone else.
Oh, that's sweet. That was where Guns and Weed showed 3 years ago. I wasn't there, but that's where it debuted.
Oh, wow. Hey, Derek.
Yes, sir.
Since you have my hippies over there, are you taking good care of them? Are you feeding them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're feeding me, actually. We had some delicious grass-fed beef, I think from Michigan, right
beef.
On.
Beef.
Okay. That was bought right up the road in Lancaster. But
it was.
Yeah. Local New Hampshire cows.
Yeah. Happy cows.
And my hippies, do you have bacon to share with them?
Yeah, it's hard to cook it without our loo around, but we figured it out. And
managed to get some practice bacon.
We made it through breakfast without you.
Okay.
It's hard, Mary, though.
Mary, could you explain practice bacon?
Practice bacon is bacon before bacon. And then, again, you could have third bacon I don't know. I think the record is fourth bacon in one day. Fourth or fifth bacon.
You know, and was that the SRH, the Status Recovery House?
Yes, the Status Recovery House. I think one day we actually did have fifth bacon.
Bacon's really hip. It's like the new cupcakes. But I'm wondering, you know, in 20 years, is everyone, maybe it's a government plot to give us all heart attacks, because a lot of bacon isn't very good. And, you know, already this year, Bill Buepert and Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, have had heart attacks and survived them. Lou suggested that they should do a speech about it and call it the Angina Monologues.
Yeah.
I think it's important to have the good quality bacon. Like, I always source it from the Amish people if I can, because I know they've been treating their pigs right.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can have the best bacon you want, but still, by definition, bacon is fat and salt and or nitrates, which none of them are particularly good for your heart in massive quantities.
The bacon that I buy has no nitrates or no nitrite. Any of the N-words, nitrates or nitrites.
The N-words. Am I being like the buzzkill? Like, you young people partying, you shouldn't party so hard. I'm old and I've been there.
Well, as an old person, you should know this. What did people use for cooking with back in the old days before all this stuff that was like two molecules away from being plastic?
My dad is 93. He grew up drinking raw milk on his farm, eating bacon after bacon after bacon. And, yeah.
Because my hippies can attest to this. When I make hash browns and fry, you know, different fried potatoes, I fry them in bacon grease.
Absolutely.
That's second bacon in one meal.
Yeah, well, that's the way it used to be done back in the old days.
You know,
you start with the bacon, you get the grease, and you work from there.
Here's what I love about this and what I loved about Pork Fest. There was, like, I guess people were talking about tyranny in politics at Pork Fest, but nowhere I was. And I was kind of thinking, like, you don't go to LibPair to talk about Barack Obama, you know? It's like, yeah. I'd rather talk about bacon. I'd rather talk as if we're in LibPair. You know, everybody else can talk about how to get there and what the rules are and how we, you know, wrangle the worms to get there. And So I don't need to be talking about technique or activism or doing anything like that. I mean, Derek does that. A lot of people I know do activism, but I just want to have the general interest libertarian show, which some people say, like, that's useless. That's not fighting the good fight. And I'm like, that's totally needed and wonderful. And apparently a lot of people like it, because I met so many people that said they love the Fiends that I didn't even know existed, that have never written to me. So it's working.
Yeah, yeah, the people are out there.
Yep, the people are out there, and while they do need to understand Austrian economics and self-defense, they also need to understand Bacon and hear about Bacon.
Yeah, and I think Bacon isn't near as bad for people as it sounds. Because I mean, if you cut out the carbs and leave in the bacon, you'll actually be better off.
Well,
that's generally the paleo diet, the Atkins diet,
which is more extreme than the paleo diet. The Atkins diet is literally like just pretty much nothing but bacon. But it's supposed to be temporary. It was created for morbidly obese people who weigh too much to undergo much needed heart surgery and need to lose like 50 or 100 pounds in a month or two. Like, they just feed them bacon nonstop and their liver tricks them into losing weight.
I thought the Atkins, like the paleo, included a lot of vegetables though, like greens and things.
Well,
but maybe I'm wrong.
The modified Atkins that's like for the public, but the original Atkins was literally like an emergency diet for people who were too heavy to undergo heart surgery.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I was on three different diets at one time because I just wasn't getting enough food on one.
You're still on a diet then, right?
A couple of them. I actually lost weight at Porkfest from all that walking around that I was doing. My legs were sore. It was like, oh my God, my pants were falling down. I was like a teenager.
We need to do Porkfest more often as kind of a weight loss plan. Those hills were challenging.
I think someone should write the book, The Porkfest Diet.
Well, for me, the worst part about it was today when I woke up in New York State and I didn't have any Fiends that I could go, walk like a couple minutes to see. Like yesterday, I got up and went, Ben came down and got a chance to talk with him, but there were no Fiends this morning, so I was heartbroken. I was sad. I didn't know how to handle myself.
Yeah, we're in an ad.
Yeah. Worms. If you love your hippies, set them free. They will come home.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to torrent
Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, Michael Fiend. Tonight, we have Lusander Fiend, we have Derek J. Freeman, and we are interviewing some people known as the hippies, and the hippies are going to talk about their art.
My hippies.
Yeah. Go, hippies, go.
All right. I've done this collage that this is the second Porkfest that this has traveled with me. And it's called The Tragedy, and it's a collage that measures about 4 feet by about 2¾ feet. And it's solid little tiny pictures, and talking on radio about visual art, but it's
like dancing about architecture.
Yeah, exactly. it's called The Tragedy, and it's got kind of a bluish background, and it's got two pillars. And the tragedy is the meme of authority, both religious and political. And I can hook you guys up with some links to put in the show notes or whatever too to check out the piece, but. I've had a lot of really, really, really good reactions to it. It's kind of a dark piece. We've also been repurposing road and doing things with
roads
with currency. Yeah. And
what do you do with roads?
Well, we were traveling near my hometown, and there was a piece of road that was kind of flapping, and it's that that clothy duct tape stuff, the road striping that they use to temporarily widen with construction, and then they paint them on once the construction is all done. But some of the stuff was flapping in the breeze. So we ended up repurposing about 20, 30 feet of it and made it into different art pieces. Made it into, we put it around wallets. Got some wallets from Goodwill and ended up repurposing some road into wallet material. Jason did a really, really nice piece that we ended up trading with Cop Block. Why don't you tell him about that?
Oh, yeah. It was sort of, it looked like stained glass. It was cut out of the that material that she was talking about. It's like a reflective yellow tape. And I'd used that spray paint and that made a Gadsden flag snake from the road, and I ran over that with my car with some spray paint on the tires. Sort of a don't tread on me theme in that piece.
Yeah, it's got kind of the U.S. flag in tire prints.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a red paint for stripes on the tire of my car, and then I backed over it in the driveway.
Rhodes. You know, it's funny because Rhodes is kind of a meme with libertarians and anarcho-capitalists of, you know, Rhodes, because statists always just always default to this, well, without the government, who would build the roads? And when we give any, I'm using a collective term for anarchists. Yeah, when I argue with them, when give them like actual answers to their rote question, without the government, who would build the roads? They, and I will be collectivist with collectivists, they tend to say I am anti-road. Like, I don't believe in roads. I'm anti-road. I'm not.
I've seen roads that have a unique curve to them, so that like if you ride a specially designed bicycle, it's perfectly smooth, but anything else would be just rough. Wouldn't work over it. Are those the kind of roads that you would use, Michael?
You know, I think without the government, who would build the roads? I think the answer is most of the same people who build the roads now, except cheaper and better and with less hassle and less and no stealing.
I predict there would be way fewer stop signs. Those are just unnecessary most of the time.
Yeah. Who would build the roads without the government? Road builders.
I do like the pave the planet movement.
What's that?
Oh, well, if you just pave the whole planet, you don't have to turn as much. You can just drive from where you want.
That sounds kind of tongue-in-cheek. It kind of reminds me of the name of my podcast before The Fiends, which was called Clone the Homeless.
I like roads so much, I think they should be privately built.
Me too. We'll be back with more in Hour 2 of The Freedom Fiends with Derek J. and the Hippies and Lou Sander Fiend. Worms.
Worms, worms, worms.
Worms.
Worms, worms, worms. Meow.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend.
Lou Sander Fiend, Freedom Fiend 2.
Everyone else check in. It's time for check-in. Roll call.
I think this is Derek J.
We got some hippies.
Yep, the hippies are coming here, and they are getting on the mic. Jason, say hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, and, you know, while we wait for Mary, if Porkfest were like a triple... hey, Mary. If Porkfest were like a triple order of bacon, this show tonight is fourth bacon.
Yes.
So, Assault Kitchen. I ate at the Assault Kitchen. Did you eat at the Assault Kitchen, Derek J?
No, what is that?
I what don't know what kitchen? That is. You don't know what that is? You ate at
I'm
it.
I'm square.
You ate at it.
I did not.
Oh, you ate,
I would know.
You ate the fruits of its labor. What is the Assault Kitchen, Lusander Fiend?
The Assault Kitchen is the setup that I purchased specifically for Porkfest and the upcoming Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, but it's got a couple of tabletops for putting a two-burner Coleman stove, a small portable barbecue grill. It's got workspace. It's got more counter space than my kitchen at home does. it's got nylon cupboards that attach underneath the barbecue grill and the two-burner stove. And it's got zippers and it. Oh my god! And this thing's awesome.
Whoa! This thing is serious.
Yeah,
I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It's bigger than my kitchen too. This is huge.
It's so
you cooked from this all week.
It's so big yes. You could feed an army with it. And actually, Lou was a cook in the army, so he knows how to feed an army.
And I've fed an army of fiends too.
You do.
But this thing has so many modifications on it. Dianne Feinstein just absolutely hates it. She wants it outlawed.
And it literally has the shoulder thing that goes up.
Yes, it has a cyclic rate of 30 pounds of bacon per minute. And as a matter of fact, after the Saturday show, we had Bacon Fest over at my campsite, followed by Leftover Palooza.
It's not legal in New Jersey, New York, Illinois, Hawaii, California, or the District of Columbia.
Yeah, that's how fierce it is.
Did you cook for anyone else, Lou?
Oh, darn near anybody that would come over. I fed my hippies several times.
Cool. Absolutely.
You know, hippies that are not vegetarian do a lot better, I think.
Yes, definitely. I agree. We
more
have bacon.
Options.
There's no such thing as extra bacon.
If you feed your hippies properly, they'll have nice shiny coats and they'll live longer and
they'll
be more
clean
affectionate.
Hippies.
Yeah, they'll be more
clean
affectionate.
Hippies
though.
Happy hippies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I recommend if you don't have hippies, go get some hippies. But watch out because they will find other hippies and bring them home.
Well, you know the joke. How do you know when you've had hippies over for dinner?
They're still there the next morning.
They're still there 3 weeks later.
Yeah, that's a warning, Derek. No, actually, they'll be back. Mary and Jason, you're going to be back to celebrate Secession Day at the State's Recovery House next week, right?
That's true.
If you stay at Ian's house 3 weeks, you'll end up registered to vote in New Hampshire.
Registered to what?
Vote. That's the house of the anarchists who vote and run for office. Derek J, aren't you running for police commissioner?
Uh-huh. No, but Ian was the second person I ever voted for.
I think you should run for police commissioner.
I can't imagine anyone would take me seriously. I promised that if I ever ran for any kind of office, it would be on the campaign promise that I will never show up.
Well, there was somebody.
And
isn't
they
there
say
somebody
they can't who, elect me then?
Isn't there somebody who ran under the only platform they had was that they were going to dissolve their post as soon as they were elected?
Was Utah Phillips ran under the Sloth and Indolence Party? And he promised to sit in the White House and scratch his ass and not do a damn thing.
Ooh. Daryl did run for public office. Daryl W. Perry ran for a certain political office that he was going to abolish. I believe it was the Register of Deeds because he thought it was a completely unnecessary department.
Yeah, well, there's the blockchain.
Yeah, you could register things in the blockchain. It would be a lot cheaper than paying. Well, it costs something like, I don't know, $100,000 to pay for a bureaucrat every year just to tell someone who, if they and have permission to build something?
Somebody should somebody should run on the golf party. Like, if elected, they'll just play golf. They won't do any work or pass any laws.
No, but it's good for the golf economy.
Well, because really that's what statists always get really upset, whether they're left or right boot on your neck, when the president plays a lot of golf. Both the current president and the last president played a lot of golf, and they're really upset about it. I'm like, wow, I like it when they're playing golf. They're doing less to us. I mean, I'm sure that they're so powerful that they can do things to us while they're playing golf. I mean, I think there's an app for that. Like, you know, Obama probably drones people sometimes while he's taking a break from golf. But it's on his BlackBerry. But yeah, man, just run under the promise to just play golf.
That's a candidate here in Michigan.
You are, Lou?
Yes. I know. He told me that, and I was like, oh, I still like you.
Well, the LP guy, he's part of Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition, and every election cycle he runs for a new office, and because he is trying to get his 5% or whatever it is, but I will be the
placeholder
vice senator if he wins.
Well, that's new thing, right? Senator?
It's under the LP platform of growing government.
Somebody just posted on one of these toilet pictures of you and I. Daniel Lyons Den posted, "I think I've seen enough of these toilet photos. Thanks." Because there's a lot of them.
How many are there?
There's about 20 or 30 by each by five different photographers.
Oh, man.
They're replicating faster than hippies.
Yes.
5-10 minutes.
Wow.
Was it that long? Time flies when you're having fun on the toilet with Lou.
Yeah. But anyway, as vice senator, I will be in charge of vice. I will be in charge of hookers and drugs. So I guess I have to learn about drugs.
Ask a hippie.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really worried because he's running on the LP ticket. So he has absolutely zero chance of winning or even showing or coming close. Or
the Libertarian Party has a history of like running. I mean, sometimes they run someone who actually talks the talk and sounds like they would try to rule like a libertarian dictator, but sometimes they just run like placeholder garbage candidates. Like the Libertarian Party of Wyoming, a last election ran a guy. I heard him speak. He like interrupted something I was going to do and sat down and talked for 10 minutes till I threw him out. I mean, he was like, he said, his first thing out of his mouth was, "I'm not a libertarian." And then he like said a bunch of stuff that was racist and a bunch of stuff that was like about expanding government and stopping immigration. And I was like, man, Libertarian Party to literally run anybody now.
Sounds like a Democrat, actually.
But he was like a, you know, gun toting, like, yes, I will protect your guns and outlaw Sharia law that's never been used in this state and keep all them wetbacks. He said this. He said, "I'll keep all them wetbacks out of Wyoming." Man,
what party is Vermin Supreme? Is he a party at all?
He's a party of his own. He might have run as a Democrat though.
Yeah,
he's a left. He's a left anarchist, isn't he?
Yeah, but I would like to see more of the libertarian people running
joke candidates.
Yeah, exactly. Do a more vermin thing. You're not going to win as an LP anyway, so why not have fun running for one of the others?
He's the guy.
Wear a boot on your head.
He wears a boot on his head. Was he at the big gay dance party?
I didn't see him at the gay dance party, no.
I saw him at the photo of him. I saw him at the photo.
Saw him there. I saw the boot on the head and saw him walking around.
Maybe it was a copycat.
No, he was there. You mean at the big gay dance
party.
But
he was at Porkfest.
Yes.
Yeah.
For certain.
Yeah.
He often comes to those events. He was at Liberty Forum as well. Meeting him.
Was he sitting? Did he have his own tent with literature on it in Agoura Valley, or was that someone from Grafton, the gray-haired guy?
Grafton people. He didn't have his own tent. He just shows up for the events to go and have fun and take pictures, spread his message. So,
confusion. It's great.
It's brilliant. I met him at Liberty Forum this year and was so speechless. I forgot my name. I like was stuttering. It was the most starstruck I've ever been. It was for meeting Vermin Supreme. He said, because he's such an impressive, amazing guy. The fact that he has the courage to go on national TV and glitter bomb people and bring these ideas to make such a mockery of them is so courageous, I think.
I often forget my name too. And I don't even have to meet somebody famous like Vermin Supreme.
Yeah.
So hippies. So, hippies.
Yes.
Yes.
You got any more art stories? Live
Aren't
radio.
Aren't you making
live
art
radio.
Across the country?
We are. We're making art wherever we go.
Did you make any art today since you're here?
Hmm.
Keene?
Yeah. Well, we put up the, the strawberry.
Yeah, we did get the strawberry state bat installed on the porch here at the Keene Activist Center.
What's that?
Oh, it's one of those bats that it's a battery-operated thing that flies around in circles if you tie it to the ceiling, but we've replaced its wings with the remnants of American flags, and so it's got Strawberry Shortcake's head on it. It's quite creepy.
Oh, you came up with behind me with that, and I just saw something fluttering out of my corner of my eyes, and I just tried to bite it.
That was her.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I said, hey, Ozzy, or something at that point.
Yeah, it was violating my space. I wasn't really going to destroy it. I just felt the appropriate response of something fluttering in my close to my head that I couldn't really see because I didn't have glasses on, was to try to bite it.
The state is invasive.
Well, yeah, so I tried to bite it.
Mm-hmm. An expected reaction. Yeah.
Did you go? Here's a dumb question. Did you go to art school?
One of us did. She did. I didn't.
She coughed when I said that. It was repugnant to her remembering art school.
Well, I did get the government to pay for my education completely, and so I don't think it's necessarily a horrible thing.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Milked it for all it's worth.
I've heard conflicting opinions on anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist, libertarians taking money from the state for free money for things like that. Tell me about it.
Well, I spent 3 years from 96 to 99, so kind of in between the stuff going on in the desert. I spent 3 years in the Army, and I found out I was diabetic 3 months before getting out, so they ended up paying for my education.
Well, a lot of people would say you earned that then, being on the desert.
A lot of people would.
We'll be back with more.
What else are they doing with that money?
We'll be back with more of Desert Vets and Art.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends, all hippies, all the time. So what's meant by the new phrase that's been coined? Hippies did it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hippies did it.
I don't know what that is.
To make it any time.
You're denying involvement or knowledge of this?
So Lou, tell
apparently
them about the note.
Hippies did it.
As I mentioned before, and I'm pretty sure I did explain what hippies did it means, but anyway, because my campsite was such a mud bowl, my darling hippies came and they found this camp rug. It kind of like what Ben had out in front of his place. It looks like putting green and all that other stuff.
It was in the trash.
Yeah, it was in the trash somewhere. So anyway, they repurposed it and brought it over to my campsite and put it over the mud hole, and they spray painted on it "Assault Kitchen" with the proper A's involved. And
you mean anarchist ones?
Yeah. Abolitionist. Yeah, anyway, it says there's no such thing as extra bacon, and they left a little note on a paper towel that said, hippies did it. And they also did some other artwork in the area. And they're so sweet because you go away, you come back, and there's new decorations there, and bada boop, bada beep.
Yeah.
I love my hippies.
The decorations are really nice, by the way. They did that over here, too. I walked out of the house and saw there were a bunch of new decorations on the porch.
Having hippies is like subscribing to an Art of the Hour club.
Yeah. It beautifies everything around me.
Yeah, especially with Jason and Mary.
Art of the moment.
Yes.
If you give Jason and Mary a couple of extra minutes and you just leave some stuff laying around, like a remote control, a box of crayons, and three paper clips, they're going to come up with some sort of art by it.
I was reading something by Stop Free Keen today, complaining about Keen and Porkfest, even though they didn't go, I don't think. But they were talking about how like the darker side of Porkfest, but it's going to like blot out Carla's ideal of a Martha Stewart type pork fest. And I love that term, Martha Stewart type pork fest. And the hippies are kind of like Martha Stewart making things all the time. I like that.
Yeah, we're exactly like Martha Stewart.
You ever been to prison?
No, not prison.
I was in jail once and I'm a felon over it, but well, Martha Stewart.
Then you're a lot more like Martha Stewart. So you were in the Army. What is it about being in the Army that makes people want less and less and less government until the point where government is so small it drowns itself in the bathtub because no one loves it?
I'm not sure. I've heard of a vet, you know, that I saw internet videos of a guy who was a vet and is now, you know, a peace activist. And
I know like 40 of them. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. But for me, it was kind of different. I mean, I was never a statist. I was always kind of, you know, questioning and not really caring.
Why were you what would you do in the Army? Were you in the art brigade?
No, I was a truck driver. I was an 88 Mike. So I trained at Leonard Wood for like 6 weeks beyond the 8 weeks of boot camp. And then I was stuck at Fort Hood for 3 years.
Can you shoot a rifle?
Which is in kind of the butthole center of Texas. And
that's more radio friendly. I like that. So are you good with a rifle?
I shoot, but I don't shoot very regularly. I have shot once since becoming a felon, so I just had to make sure to do it. But
I don't. I'm no lawyer, but I don't believe it's illegal for a felon to shoot a gun.
Just ownership.
I believe that a felon in most states. I could be wrong, but I believe that a felon in most states can go to like a public range that rents guns and use a gun there.
Let's get Randy on this.
Randy, let's wake him up.
Yeah, let's fiend source it.
Yeah, the fiends have hippies and we have a lawyer.
Yeah, on the whole Army thing, though, I mean, for me, the Army really didn't have a whole lot to do with finding out the Liberty stuff. I had a really close friend introduce me to the idea a couple of, probably about 3.5 years ago. And I was also introduced to nonviolent communication around the same time, which has really, really been helpful. Because
explain what that is.
Nonviolent communication is basically just addressing human needs and human emotions and to try not to sound formulaic. You know, when you do it like, oh, I see you're feeling this way because maybe your need for this isn't being met.
Yeah, instead of like, you're bad, you shouldn't do this.
Yeah, it's not making judgments, but just taking, all right, when you did this specific action, I felt this because maybe my need for cleanliness wasn't being met because there was things left out. But it's just a communication tool.
After this trip to the market about communicating with the care and feeding of your hippies.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from The Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. Sometimes when people hear things that I have to say, they're shocked and they're like, how do you sleep at night? And I say, on a pile of money with many beautiful women. But I do sleep well because I know I'm right. And Mary was suggesting that I read some book, and I'm like, I don't read books. I write books. If someone gives me a book, I reverse steal it and drop it on Davy Barker's table. And she said, oh, well, you know, if you got 3 hours to watch a YouTube video, and I'm like, what? No, that's like school, man. I have 3 hours to make a YouTube video, not to watch one. Oh, I do have an announcement. I said at Porkfest and since then that after watching Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, as a full-on anarchist, which I became shortly after the movie was completed 3 years ago, went from minarchist to anarchist, basically from hanging out in Nima Vidati. I decided while watching that movie again for the first time in 2 years, I was like, man, this thing's great, but there sure is a lot of constitution licking in it. And then I was thinking, and it's 99 minutes long, it's kind of long, and I was thinking, you know, if I took out all the constitution licking, it'd probably be about 75 minutes and be better and more truthful and more how I feel. So I was going to make the Guns and Weed and Anarchy cut of it when I got home. And today I went down to my media sub bunker and found the drives that it's on and hooked them up to my new computer and realized it wouldn't be that much of a task to edit it. It would be a big task to get that complex project to open up and have everything line up properly on a different computer than I made it. It would be like I would have to hand click like 4,000 files to make it work on the new computer because and the new computer like doesn't have the plug-in I had to buy to read the footage that Nima shot with his camera that he borrowed from the news team he worked with on mainstream news and all sorts of things. So I think that's just not going to happen. I wish I could say it would, and I might look at it again on a different computer, but I'd urge you
to try it. I have some insight on this, Michael, because I recut Victimless Crime Spree, my 90-minute movie, down to 59 minutes, and I was going to do it by opening up those files like you're talking about,
so
going right
chopped,
into the raw stuff.
You just chopped the final file.
Yep, I went right to the finished movie and just cut from there, and it was easier.
I could do that, and I thought about that, and I may take a look at doing that. The problem is a lot of the constitution licking stuff is in the middle of sequences surrounding by stuff I'd want to keep that has music underneath it. So the music would jump when I do that.
That would happen in my movie too, but you just got to be clever with it.
All right. I'll look at doing that.
Try it out, man. It's worth saving the time. You know,
it's punk rock. Yeah. I'll do some audio fades. I'll make it work. Ah, thank you,
Michael.
Yes.
I have the solution.
What?
You need hippies.
I need hippies.
You need video artist hippies.
Yeah.
Well, I am a video artist hippie, but there's some technical issues with it. But I like what Derek said. I'm going to try that. Probably tonight when I'm done editing this, I'll go get that drive back out of the basement, sub-basement bunker. So hippies, you had book suggestions. So the thing is, what is this thing about nonviolent communication? Give me some examples, please.
Well, I mean, nonviolent communication, it doesn't contain anything new. I mean, it's based in historical principles of nonviolence. You know, the natural state of compassion when no violence is present.
Give me an example, please, of a statement that someone would make normally without knowing these techniques that would be not nonviolent communication, and then how they could say the same thing with nonviolent communication, please.
Well, for example, if you're having a conversation with your spouse and you are maybe disagreeing on like what to do, like maybe your spouse wants to go out and try out a new restaurant or something and you'd rather stay at home, you know, well, we never do anything that I want to do. We're always doing what you want to do. And maybe something in more of a giraffe.
My spouse and I always want to do the same thing, though.
Yeah, and you probably, I don't have this problem with my significant others either, but yeah, like maybe a more effective way of communicating.
How many do you have?
That's a whole different topic, and then maybe I'll come on the other show and talk about that sometime.
I'm not being judgmental. I'm just, you know, curious.
Yeah, it's a really big topic.
Bacon and polyamory. You have to do both of those to be a libertarian, right?
Not necessarily. I think as long as you accept the non-aggression principle and start there.
I'm a thin libertarian who's fat from eating bacon and.
But no, basically, nonviolent communication reminds us of what we already instinctively know about how good it feels to be, you know, authentically connected with other human beings, especially, you know, at a place like, you know, Porkfest or just in real, you know, just even in real life. I mean, it feels really good to connect with others for most people, I think.
I've had some training in nonviolent communication, I believe of the type you're talking about. Not in a liberty setting, but in like us before my spouse now with a girlfriend, long-term girlfriend I had, we went to some kind of marriage counseling stuff, and you know they taught you like you know, instead of saying I hate it when you leave the soap dish out and have hair in it, it pees me off, you know, instead you say I would feel better and would feel more respected if you would please remember to put the soap dish out without and remove your hair from it.
I think even in MVC would go even more deeper. When you take a shower and leave soap, hair stuck in the soap and hair stuck to the shower walls, I'm really kind of disturbed and bothered. And it's a really little thing and it's not really a big deal, but it would really mean a lot to me, you know, if you'd be kind of conscious of that. And there's actually a video on YouTube where there's a discussion about leaving the toilet seat up or turning the toilet paper one way or the other or something. So it's, I don't know. And nonviolent communication is really a practical strategy for anarchy. I mean, our language carries a legacy of...
I guess.
Yeah, it really does.
I understand it. And my sisters, who are... leftist hippies, both taught me that when I was young, or tried to, and I think it had something to do with NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which they also both studied, which is different, but I actually think is kind of sinister. It's basically like how to brainwash friends and influence people. But the thing about that kind of speech to me is it sounds so... when it comes out of my mouth, it sounds so contrived and kind of puss-puss-ish that it's like, it's not me. And I'm generally not a very harsh person with people I care about and telling them what I need. And
but with practice, it can sound more natural. Like what Mary just said, I have a feeling that wouldn't roll off my tongue. But if I said it a few times or got some practice with NVC or nonviolent communication, then I could spill it.
Derek does it. I think Derek NVC, already does it some. I've heard him.
Yeah, definitely. It does flow from you. I feel your inner giraffe.
I've seen Derek do it with cops on video.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You got to have NVC in your mind, if not, you know, the particular method of that Marshall Rosenberg teaches, but you definitely got to have some empathy for another person as a human being, even if that person has a badge.
I still say next time Derek gets arrested or touched by a cop, I would love to see him just start squealing, "Bad touch, bad touch, bad touch, bad touch."
I did consider that. I was wondering, you know, after my fifth arrest in Keene, I was planning that the next one I would run and have a video camera in my hand and just be yelling, "Stranger danger, stranger danger." It's basically the same idea.
"You're not my daddy. You're not my daddy."
That's what they taught me to do. If a stranger is coming after me trying to abduct me, I'm supposed to kick my legs, tell them, "You're not my mommy. You're not my daddy," and scream. You know, to alert the other people around.
One time when I was about 12, this bully who was like 14 was whipping on me, and I just started yelling "rape" as loud as I could. And I'd been like attacked before by a similar bully, a friend of his, and I'd been like just screaming, and like nobody came over, and I started yelling "rape," and like A, like 20 people came over immediately, and B, like before that even happened, like he was just so taken aback by it, he stopped and like threw his hands off me, like, whoa, what's going on?
Whoa. Well,
yell,
okay,
Ray,
what happened
yell,
then?
He just walked off really quickly while these 20 people were coming up, kind of looking like a bystander or something, you know? They didn't.
Yeah, but then you're the boy who cried wolf. I mean, you can't cry rape again.
He was a no, and I didn't, and I haven't been beat up very much. This was, you know, probably happened twice, and I've been punched in the nose a couple times, but I probably deserved it at the time.
Wow. So, any fights in elementary school?
Yeah, never fights. Only one fight as an adult. There's a big difference in the outcome between two similarly matched sixth graders beating each other up and two similarly matched 12th graders. Like the sixth graders, you might get a bloody nose, but 12th graders are men. They can ruin each other, man. I was in a fight.
Yeah.
I was in a fight when I was like 21 with a drunk guy that it turned out later. Like he told me he'd just seen my band play to like 500 people. And I walked out of there with a girl under each arm. And he just told me later, he was just jealous. And he ended up at my house in a fight with me. It was really weird because I had this roommate that kind of looked like Vermin Supreme, but with brown hair, that was like trying to use magic to break up the fight, like going, like putting his hands out, like he was putting a spell on us. He thought that would break it up. And finally the police came and he did that to them and they left. And we fought for like 25 minutes. Like at one point, we both had long hair and I had a piece of wire off that I'd taken from the Berlin Wall when I was in Germany, and like barbed wire, and our hair got tangled up in the barbed wire. And my girlfriend like stopped the fight like a ref and untangled our hair. And then we just went right back. Like the fight started back up. But yeah, that was the only real fight I was in as an adult. And we both were in bad, bad shape for like weeks afterwards. No broken bones, but it hurt, man. Two men can ruin each other. It's not cool. It's not fun.
Was that more than 20 years ago?
I was 25 and that happened, and I'm 50 now. 25 so you, or 26. Yeah,
that's a pretty good record then. You're not getting in any fights.
Yeah, I've had a knife to my throat. That was not cool. That was not fun.
And I
did
think,
you brush each other's hair afterward?
No, I actually went to his work the next day to apologize because I couldn't remember who started the fight. Like he started it verbally, but I couldn't remember who actually threw the first punch. And I went to his work to apologize to him. And he thought I was coming to kill him. Like he snuck out the back door. All right, we'll be back with more. That was nothing about peaceful, nonviolent communication. We'll have a redemption in the third act after this trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends. Going out to all our homies in Moline, Illinois. I see you. I see you in the web stats right now. Moline, Illinois. I know that's in our area. I know you're listening. We welcome you. We welcome you over to the dark side of less and less and less government until it can drown itself in the bathtub. So we got a hippie thing. First of all, hippies, do you guys have a website you want to get out, give out?
Not I.
I go by my actual name on Facebook. I'm not there a whole lot, but...
All right.
Mary Vandenberg on Facebook.
All right. So you wanted to give a statement about nonviolent communication. Go ahead.
Yeah. I discovered the ideas of liberty and nonviolent communication around the same time. And it was interesting. And I had the same reaction as this poster that I'm going to quote in this forum. Marshall Rosenberg he's not an anarchist himself, but his ideas are kind of anarchistic. He believes that linguistic violence leads to inefficient, unsatisfactory, and unpleasant interactions. In extreme cases, linguistic violence is a prerequisite for physical violence. The most obvious form of violent language is making demands or telling people what they must, should, or are supposed to do. The must is violent because it is an attempt to exercise authority and take away choice. Rosenberg believes that the must word was introduced by kings and other tyrants to allow them to control their subjects. Without must, it would not be possible to give orders to soldiers or extract taxes from individuals. This word and its derivations are simply not used in nonviolent communication. And there's also the no judgment thing as well, saying what people specifically did rather than you did this, you know, you made a bad decision, you know, using specific words when you're talking to people.
See, I don't feel that words are aggression unless they're backed with a threat of force. And even, you know, politicians who do everything by force do back everything with a threat of violence, with a threat of force. I mean, and they're actually starting to use language that's more like kind of a perverted version of this nonviolent stuff, of kind of a kindler, gentler tyranny, you know, to where the words are more gentle, and they call things that aren't gentle hate speech. And I just feel like, you know, I don't hang around people that use mean language to people who don't deserve it, but I have the freedom to walk away from them. And literally, like, anybody who's I'm kind of crass sometimes, but I'm not mean to people that don't deserve it. And people who are, I just don't have in my life. And I believe that, you know, any person has the right to walk away from a situation like that. So yeah, I don't really care that much about the language used unless it's backed with force. I would rather hang out with a libertarian who respects my property rights, who cusses like a sailor and would laugh at that kind of language, than I would hang around a politician who wants to put me in a cage for not doing their bidding, but talks in kind of newspeak that's very gentle.
Well, the Marshall Rosenberg definitely addresses that, you know, talking about like the legalese and the bureaucrat language that they used to get their way and as an element of control. And the good news for you is that NVC isn't about being nice. It's about genuine and trying to get your own needs met. And that means making specific requests in order to better, you know,
well,
make somebody,
also
have somebody else understand what your needs are in the moment.
Again,
and hopefully fill them.
Again, I go back to, like, it's all property rights. And I think that communication involves a lot of property rights. Like, literally, you can throw anybody out of your pork fest you don't want there. You can throw anyone out of a party in your living room you don't want there. I can tell people when they're on my radio show, which I built and it's my property, I can say, you can't cuss or I'm dumping you. And if you cuss, I'm throwing you off the show if you do it more than once. I mean, it's totally.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Feinstein Schumer.
Yeah, I don't mince words with people on this show. I'm like, you can't. Can't say, you know, you can't cuss because I'll get kicked off a station. And there's certain topics I don't want to go to because they'll get us kicked off stations. And or certain things, like, for instance, you know, somebody wanted to talk about something that was anti-military in a certain way. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say, like, you know, the troops or whatever. I'll say, like, let's talk for an hour about why you're anti-war. But I'm not just going to say something bold and crass without explanation. They'll get me kicked off the air, and it's my right not to do that. So I think there's something to be said for both, and we're out of time here. Do you have a closing argument, anybody? Closing statement?
Just Google nonviolent communication. If you can handle giraffe and jackal hand puppets and a little out of tune guitar, you'll love Marshall Rosenberg.
Worms. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being on, Hippies. Thanks, Derek J. Thanks,
Sandersine.
Looking forward to next year's Porkfest. Hope you're all there.
See you next week at the Stace Recovery House. Happy Secession Day.
Meow. 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 Meow.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Just dial in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype again now that we are back in our Keene, New Hampshire studios after having done a week's worth of shows in the middle of the woods at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We now have our internet access, quality internet access back. It was nice, though, at Porkfest to actually have usable internet most of the time throughout the festival. For longtime attendees, you will know that you'll remember that internet has been terrible at Porkfest in the past. But thanks to some enterprising, well, one enterprising individual, Michael Hampton, who's one of our technical advisors behind the scenes here at Free Talk Live, he provided internet access for more than twice as many people this year, because he started last year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and this year he had more than twice as many orders, exceeding his amount of orders that he had from the year prior within 2 days, I think, of setting up his internet access.
Wow.
So, Daryl J., welcome to Free Talk Live.
Hey, good to be with you.
Well, welcome back, actually. In fact, this is like a radio marathon for you today. You filled in as host for the Angel Clark Show today, correct?
That's correct, yes. So for the last 2 hours at LRN.FM, I've been holding it down for the Angel Clark Show.
And now you're going to clock in another 3 hours here on Free Talk Live. Then you're going to appear on this man's show. Michael W. Dean is with us from the Freedom Fiends. My understanding, Derek J. is going to be on for another 2 hours of radio after this tonight. Do we have Michael Dean? Michael,
yeah. I see. It's so weird. I've been doing like stuff with people in different parts of the country. I can't see. I go out for a week to where I'm sitting in the room with my co-hosts, and now I'm like waiting for the visual cue. I thought you were talking to Derek, man. It was a life-changing experience. Right. I recommend it for everybody.
Well, that's a pretty big thing to say, Michael W. Dean. And I have to say, I was really pleased to be able to meet you and your wife, DJ, for the first time ever. You mentioned that you actually hadn't come out to any sort of event in almost a decade. I think it was like 07 or something was the last time you went out to something like this. And of course, you've never been to anything like Porkfest before. But
well, I've been to a lot of events where, you know, the people who are the minority get together with other people who are the minority and don't feel like as much of a minority. And it's a great thing. Mm-hmm. But
what was life changing about the Porcupine Freedom Festival for you? Because that's a pretty big thing to say.
These people exist. First of all, I got to meet my little friends from the internet, as we call each other. You know, I met all the fiends, all my co-hosts that I'm doing shows with. I hung out with them, got to know them, met Ben Stone, met you, met Mark, met Derek Jay, met Derek Slopey, the Meowbit guy, mm-hmm. met Ernest Hancock. It's like, you know, you do all this stuff on the internet and then you realize these people are real. And the other thing is not just meeting my imaginary friends from the internet, but seeing LibPair, you know, Libertarian Paradise in action. This literally was it for a week. I mean, there were really no laws, no, like, you know, man-made laws, but nobody got hurt. Nobody got harmed. I didn't see any fights. I didn't see any arguments. Some people were intoxicated. People were carrying guns. There was nothing dangerous happened.
Yes, there were guns and weed and other drugs present at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and everything was okay. In fact, Derek and I were talking on the last night at the campfire, which unfortunately you couldn't attend. You were there for several days during the week, but you had to take off early. But observing that it didn't seem like there were as many drunk people at Porkfest this year as in last year, for instance.
Yeah, I'm sober 20 years and I didn't feel like, oh my God, people are drunk. Well, I did meet like Gigi Bowman, met my wife and then spilled a drink on her. That was about it.
I'm not saying there weren't drunk people at Porkfest, just that there weren't as many of them, or at least if there were, they weren't as obviously drunk as.
And it was pretty easy to, you know, like nobody, I didn't feel like I was at a frat party or anything. You know, I didn't feel like I couldn't get away. I could just walk over one campground and get away from anybody who was really loud. Nobody mm-hmm. followed me drunk and yelled at me.
Right.
Like they have at some other events. You were tripping for the first time ever on radio. That's a radio first, Ian.
You mean on your show? On
my
Freedom
show.
Fiends.
Oh, you're the consummate professional. You'd never trip on your show, but you'll trip on my show. And it was great.
it was a very, very light trip. It wasn't much of one at all. It was some old LSD that I took.
Vintage.
Yeah, it probably
was. It from the 70s?
LSD, no, it was probably no more than 2 or 3 years old. Okay. The problem is LSD doesn't hold up very well over time, especially when exposed to heat,
mm-hmm.
Even if you keep it in the dark. But it was awesome. It was great to get to experience Freedom Fiends, and I was there on both of your live nights. Your show was live 3 times, but you were on it 2 out of those 3 times.
I was flying there one night. You know.
I got to see some parts of the episode with Ian, but I was there for the whole episode Wednesday, Michael, and it was historic. I really felt like this was just great. One of the most amazing episodes of the Freedom Fiends ever. It's going to be really hard to top tonight.
Yeah, it was in the top 10 of 420-some episodes we've done, and it was definitely the best post-Vidotti episode. It was really cool. It really gelled. It was really fun. What did you say to me, Ian, about windowless bunkers and getting out of the house?
I was really, really impressed. I didn't know what to expect out of a guy who brags about living in a windowless bunker and not leaving and not socializing. And it turned out you're a real showman. Like, you put on a performance for people, and in a very funny way, with, I think it was Davi who termed it physical comedy.
Well, Davi said physical comedy doesn't work on radio, but I listened to it today, and even though I was there, I forgot that I was there, and it worked because we were explaining it.
Most of it was explained, although I felt like there were a few times where the co-host could have given some more explanation as to what was going on off mic. But otherwise, you know, it's a middle of the show, or middle of the night kind of show, and I thought it went very, very well.
How'd you like having a live audience too, Michael? That must have been different for the show.
It was fabulous, and there was actually a segment that only they saw and they really loved that didn't go out because I broke the internet. I was playing with the effects. As soon as Ian said he was tripping, I reached over and like quietly started playing, adding effects, pitch shifting up and down on Ian and Davi to see if Ian had noticed it. And he finally noticed it. And we left it on, but it was only going to the speakers in the room. It wasn't going out on radio. And then I hit the wrong button. You know, being the, I am the consummate audio professional, but not with that mixer necessarily. And it cut us out for one like 15, 20 minute segment. And then I think they lost it. I think the internet connection broke on the second night because I went through the GCN archives, and you know, they absolutely like record everything as it goes out. And there mm-hmm. was in the night before that, the night after that, there was like a 10 minute section of like jazz music playing. And then they went to an episode that was 2 weeks old for a while and then came back.
Davi Barker also had pork scouts badges that one of them was honoring you, Michael, with Creamy Radio Audio.
It was honoring the fiends. Did you get one of those? It was for the co-hosts.
Yeah. But then other people could use them as well. Like if they have a blog of their own or a podcast of their own and they've got Creamy Radio Audio. I think it's going to do a lot to inspire other liberty lovers to produce media like that.
Yeah, we made a new one. We haven't made badges of it yet, but he came up with, you know, there's this saying, not my circus, not my monkeys. It's a Polish phrase for like, I don't want no part of that, man. That's your problem. But he sent me that he made a badge of that with like a flying monkey that looks like it's tripping from Wizard of Oz on it. And I had him change it to my circus, my monkeys. And we're going to make that. It's going to be the one, it's going to be the badge for the award for cat herding above and beyond the Call of Duty.
Cat herding, like actual cats, or just like herding anarchists?
People, like people.
Yeah.
Like herding anarchists, you know, like making your little, you know, whatever planet you are in the libertarian universe, and you have your like things revolving around you, which is kind of like what Porkfest was. It was like all these rock stars with their followers running around, then everyone who's just camping and having fun, and then like the little garage bands who aren't rock stars like the fiends. And it's like all of this stuff of herding and trying to get people to the same place at the same time for like, you know, like trying to organize and pull off, which we did the Freedom Fiends first annual corporate retreat barbecue and team building exercise.
So cute.
Which you made, there's video of, you put it up. It's cool.
Yeah. Video's actually, already online.
Well, what you did was you got your co-host together. Cause for people that aren't familiar with the Freedom Fiends, it is an overnight show during the week. And then on weekends, it's middle of the afternoon. Via our Genesis Communications Network syndicate, also airs on LRN.FM. And your co-hosts are, except for DJ, your wife, all living somewhere else. And you brought them all together, or most of them, to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And y'all actually got to meet up in person, which must have been pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Glad to know you had a good time, Michael W. Dean. And I hear you might be going back next
year. Oh, we're coming back. As soon as it's announced, we're booking our hotels. And a few months after that, booking our plane tickets.
Unless, of course, you've already moved by that point to New Hampshire.
Always with the moving.
Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. Michael W. Dean from freedomthemes.com. We'll continue. Your thoughts are welcome on anything.